You are listening to Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast.
Swung and lined to deep left field. It is gone!
Hello and welcome to the Disgusting Baseball Podcast. It's Quincy Wheeler here, and I'm here with Nicole this week. Nicole, how are you doing?
Just dandy. How are you?
Good. Nicole, are we going to get any games in this weekend?
Selfishly, I hope not, because I'm going to be gone all weekend, but...
Looks like Saturday, so maybe Saturday they might even try to do a doubleheader, and then... Sunday thunderstorms, hard to say, but looking skeptical that we'll get one in Friday night. But we'll see. I'm supposed to go to my first game of the year on Saturday, so we'll see if maybe I end up with a doubleheader. That might be interesting. So let's talk about these Guardians that we're gonna see. I Nicole and I are gonna do a few things today. All thought we might talk about how the Guardians might survive the Bieber injury, because of course that's really the big bummer at the beginning of the year, right? This team's 9-3 right now as we're talking, and if Bieber was healthy, I feel like we'd have no worries in the world, and that wouldn't be that wouldn't be right. You can't be a baseball fan without any worries. So sorry Bieber, and man, tough to see him so emotional over not being able to help the team. And he's such a good guy.
Yeah, as most fans, if not all fans, were absolutely gutted when that when the Mandy and Zach notification popped up on my phone.
Yeah. Yep. So what I told Nicole is, let's be optimistic. Let's imagine that we have time traveled to the beginning of November this year, and we're talking to a Guardians fan. We stumble out of the time machine. Of course, our first question is, what happened to the Guardians? I should make this on the Wednesday after Election Day. Our first question to anybody is, what's the Guardians record?
Forget what happened to the Guardians?
We time travel and they tell us that the Guardians won 90 games. And my question to Nicole was, what would you suspect to be the reason or the way that they managed to win 90 games without Bieber? So what's your first draft pick of an option? Nicole's going to pick two and I'll pick two.
My first draft pick of an option is doing what they've been doing so far and relying on the bullpen. Specifically, I think you see, obviously Sam Hinchis is coming back, but I think we see the resurgence of Anthony Gose. And, you know, my deep sigh of relief every time he's up, warming up, returns.
They have a lot of arms right now in the bullpen. I wish they had some more that I can think about that with the starting rotation, but obviously you take them where you can get them. But yeah, Ghost is looking interesting down there. Of course, everybody knows about Franco Aleman, Nick Enright. He's a guy that they've liked for a while. They got back after he didn't stick in a Rule 5 choice, but he's been looking great. Basically anywhere you look, there's a bunch of bullpen talent, not to mention the guys who are already on the team. So yeah, I can see that. I mean, obviously, they're going to have to cycle through some guys if guys are going to be doing the kind of throwing they've been doing so far this season to help out the team. But yeah, I can see that happening. Okay, well, my next one is going to be that they make a trade in July for a starting pitcher. I think that I don't know how likely this is, but I do think that if the Guardians are hanging around the division race, that the past does show that they've been pretty aggressive in trades, and they should have some assets they could move still. Some guys, especially if guys perform well, like, you know, if you're seeing Juan Brito and Angel Martinez both performing very well, that's a pretty darn good trade chip. And plus some other pieces to go along with it. And honestly, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to do this, but they could consider trading Kyle Manzardo, if he's hitting very well and they want to really land a big piece and somebody wants a bat and they really like him, they could do the reverse Savali, and find their own Savali again, or trade him back to Tampa for Savali. No. But I like Almazar. I don't want to go anywhere. I'm just saying they could consider a variety of those things. And people have already been talking about like Jesus Luzardo from the Marlins, who would cost a lot, and or Paul Blackburn from the A's, who would probably not cost as much and might have a lot of value there. So.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of pieces I can see that could move and really help other teams. Like even out of the bullpen, you have a couple pieces that just aren't quite clicking right with us that could go to another team and be the game changer for them and get a little more start, more of the spotlight.
I
Yeah, that's a good
wonder,
one.
yeah, that the bullpen's definitely an interesting one because I'm sure people are going to be talking. If the bullpen's looking great and like if Cade Smith continues to look like he's been looking, people are going to be like, we're going to trade Emmanuel Class A, which is dangerous. But the interesting thing about that is, it's hard for me to imagine how they trade Class A and get help now because whoever wants Class A is going to want to be making the playoffs this year. So that's an interesting one. It would have to, and like just nobody has enough starting pitching. Nobody does.
No.
So it basically has to be like a rebuilding team, like a Marlins or an A's saying, we'd rather stock up on prospects and try this thing later if you're going to get a starting pitcher, I think.
So that actually kind of leads into my second, what you call a draft, for this. And I think you're gonna start seeing more like the Kirk McCarty, Brian Shaw starts, but you see Curry and Lively do a more doubled up sh start for kind of filling in that Bieber role where it's not expecting them to go 7 innings alone, but you get 4 and 3 between the two of them, or 3.5, 3.5, and you bring Gaddis out to set up Class A, something like that, where you could end up giving the rest of your bullpen a day of rest if it's not on the schedule, and or maybe you had the bullpen game the day before because someone gave up 5 runs against the White Sox.
Not naming names, but and also I don't two guys. So yeah, that's a good idea. I think it'd be interesting to see how they would fit both of them on the roster. Obviously, assuming one of them will replace Chalecki. Again, I haven't heard anybody say his name, but I'm assuming it's something like that. I didn't get to hear him. I saw the score, but I wasn't watching at the time he pitched the other day. But I'm assuming they'll replace him, and then I guess it would probably be Heron. Maybe Heron or Morgan or
Yeah,
those are
because they
probably
both, I
the
looked up
only
those two
guys.
specifically because they do both, they have 2 options each left. So I think those would be the two that would end up, as much as I would be sad to see Eli go down to Columbus, I think right now those are the two pieces I could see moving to make room for Curry and Ben Lively. I keep wanting to call him Blake Lively. He is not married to Ryan Reynolds, I think.
It is funny to have that first initial. Yeah, that's an interesting option. All right. Well then, so my last one will be that there turns out to be a breakout pitcher helping from the minors, and that kind of what Bieber did when he came up originally. It was like he didn't expect him to come. You didn't expect him to come up right away and be used like that, but he was. And he was effective. So maybe somebody comes up like that. I mean, right now it looks like it would be something like Doug Nikhazy, and there's some other guys that you could dream on. Joey Cantillo won't be back for a while, but maybe he just really takes off when he's back. Parker Messick had a good first start. Maybe he just burns through the minors. So something like
I would be pleased as punch if Nicasi can continue what he's done in Akron up in Columbus. Like, you mentioned him after he just went, what, I have it pulled up right here, 10 innings with one hit across his two starts. Yeah, that is
And 13 strikeouts.
insane.
It's a great first start. And he's walked four guys. That's his thing. He walks guys, which sometimes has to do with the umpires as well. You can't always tell. But it does, but I mean, if he can afford to do that if he strikes enough guys out and doesn't give up hard contact. So
And who
he'll
knows
be
how many
hitting
of those
triples.
walks would convert to strikes if you have Bo Hedges or even Dom behind the
Sure.
plate.
Yeah, sure. So those are our guesses of how the Guardians survive. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about what's coming up. So we've seen the Guardians have some success. They've beaten some good pitchers, from Seattle especially, but also had success against Minnesota's good pitchers. So that's been encouraging, but now we get to a little more difficult part of the schedule, would you say?
Yes. I feel like every series, the next one's like, well, this will be the one that tells us if this team is legit or not. And
I
I feel
mean,
like the Yankee series is the real.
the Athletics just shut out Texas, so it's possible that I think every series shows you something. But yeah, I mean, if they do well against the Yankees and the Red Sox coming up, we'll feel pretty good about where they are. And then there's a little series with the Athletics at home, and then they're at the Braves, and you'd also feel pretty good if they did well at the Braves, and then they're at the Astros.
Which
So yeah, coming up is a pretty good challenge. Then they got the Angels at home, feel good about that. The Tigers at home, who knows what the Tigers are? Then they're at the White Sox, feel great about that. I love playing the White Sox. I think I'd rather play the White Sox than the A's, even though White Sox gave them some trouble. I just don't feel good about that team at all. Doing well. And then at the Rangers, Twins at home, Mets at home. So, yeah, that's kind of looking up ahead. Mostly there's some good challenges in there. I always just continually say to people, you don't know what you've got for a team at all until you get to Memorial Day, and then you can generally make some preliminary conclusions.
And I feel like this year has proven that the most, like, universally, because sure, Dodgers are doing good, sure, the Yankees are doing good, but why are the Pirates and the Guardians doing as good as we are as they're doing? Why are the Royals going, what was it, 16-4 against the Astros? Like, you have so many of these random things where, of course, the Diamondbacks beat the Rockies, but then the Diamondbacks got beat by someone. Like, you're just seeing all these random teams that shouldn't be beating these good teams. So I feel like that has like been the most universal this year. Just you don't really know right now. Everyone's kind of performing better and then worse, and then it's not nothing's really settled yet.
Yeah, and you can tell like just a little microcosm of that. How do you just kind of watching Jose Ramirez, how do you feel about the beginning of his year?
You mentioned something when we did our hot takes or predictions on the year about him, chasing down, and everyone's throwing him that, it feels like.
Yep.
I don't know stats on that. I haven't looked it up, so I'm probably wrong, but it
No,
just.
I think you're right. The thing that I would say is that I think that if I didn't have any stats in front of me, I'd say it's been kind of a slow start to the year, yet it seems like he's mostly been in the middle of everything. He's, hit a couple big homers. He's like been wreaking havoc on the base paths. Really, this last game, this walk-off victory that they had was the first time that I didn't really feel like he was like in the middle of everything. And his stats are so weird when you look at him right now because it's not like he's doing anything particularly wrong or well. And for me, that's just a great example of how 12 games tell you basically nothing about
Nothing.
anybody because he'll be fine, he'll figure it out. And right now, things are just not what they're going to be eventually. So I think that's kind of
Anything,
how
it's
all
making
teams are
me
basically.
more optimistic because it doesn't feel like we're relying on any one person. Like we used to always rely on Jose. Jose was the if Jose's off, everyone's off. And it's like Nate, Josh is hitting good, Bo's hitting good, but David Fry's hitting well, Stephen Kwan's hitting well. So you have all of these other pieces, Freeman's hitting well, like all these other pieces are coming together where they can make up for Hosey not being on, which means when Hosey is on, look out.
Yeah.
We're gonna go like.
Yeah, I feel that too, and I hope that is the case. Yeah. So there'll be let's see, 7, 10, 13, 16. 16 of the next 19 games are against teams that are probably at least above 500, if not playoff teams, from what we can tell. So, and then the 3 in there against the Athletics at home. So what do you think would be, would you feel good about being the Guardians' record in those next 19 games?
Man, I don't know about a complete record. I think if we take the series against the Yankees, I will feel good. If we take a series, the series against the Yankees, this upcoming series, and then one of the series against Boston, I would feel great. Because I feel, especially if we take Boston, when we're in Boston, just because we can't rely on home runs as much with them there at that field.
Yeah.
Funny, sorry, saying that just hit me. I said we're relying on home runs, a little jarring compared to last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if we could take, because I'm the A's are the type of team where they could come into our house and just sweep us, and I would probably not be upset by it because they're one of those teams that could just randomly have a hot streak and then we'll never hear from them for the rest of the season, and it'll of course be against Cleveland. So, like those. Weird teams, I don't really read as much into. It's things like the Yankees in Boston. I think if we could take one from Boston and then take the Yankee series, I would think I would finally allow myself to hope,
Yeah.
to have a little bit of dream.
A lot of it is context dependent too, because if it takes Jose Ramirez a little bit longer to pull out of whatever kind of funk he's in, and if Tanner Bibee is still trying to figure out how not to, like Stephen Vogt described, that he's apparently kind of pulling pitches. If he can't quite iron things out there, to escape the next 19 games, winning 10 of the 19 would be tremendous. That I,
Yeah.
if all that's still happening, if guys are, if guys figure things out quicker, then I think my expectations would be a little bit higher. I would say 10 and 9 we should be able to do for sure. So I guess I think 10 and 9 would be a big success. That would make them 19 and 12, and then you enter into a part of the schedule that's a little bit more normal. So that would be successful. And honestly, even if they end up 9 and 10, it's, you should still feel pretty good about it, I think.
I agree. And like you said, the context makes a difference. If they're able to fight out wins against some of these loftier teams, especially teams that some like, I feel like the White Sox, for some reason, the reason why they're that rivalry is there is because the pitching has each other figured out. So their pitching had our batters figured out. Their batters had our pitching figured out, but yet we still somehow came out to win. And
I have been
they're just
having
one of those.
arguments with people all day about the logic of walking Josh Naylor. Of pitching to Josh Naylor or
I
walking
don't
Josh Naylor.
get it.
Well, here's the
They
thing.
should know by now.
Here's the thing. Everybody keeps telling me that you can't put the winning run on base. And I just think it's so outdated thinking. Look, I know that you love Will Brennan. I like Will Brennan. But
He would have chased there, like.
you absolutely choose to pitch to Will Brennan in that situation. You put Josh Naylor on, and Brian Shaw can really only do one thing fairly well. He can get a ground ball now and then. So you put Josh Naylor on first, and you try to get a double play off Will Brennan. I just don't understand why that. And then also at the end of it, why they have the infield pulled in? Why are you not at double play depth? That's basically your only real shot to win that game.
Why didn't the runner on third go?
Oh, that earlier in the game. The White Sox are just bad. They're bad. Thank
They are
goodness they
making
won
some
two
silly mistakes,
of
and I don't. Gotta put that on Grifol. That's all on leadership there.
I will die on the hill that they should not have pitched to Dustin Lay. And if people are saying, oh no, my thinking is wrong on that, they sh you know, you absolutely can't put him on base. I hope that's how everyone thinks from now on, because I'm more than happy to have them pitch to Josh Naylor late in games anytime they want. Go ahead, feel free. I'm wrong. You're right.
No, absolutely. Yeah, no, it was a baffling decision.
Yeah, I'm glad we're together on that. All right, well, everybody, make sure you check out Covering the Corner and see all the fun stuff we're doing to cover the team. Nicole had a news and notes column come out, and then she's covering some minor league stuff this weekend. Hopefully everybody's games aren't rained out, but we'll have some exciting minor league stuff to do. Nicole, right before we head off, I wonder, do you have somebody that you currently are leaning towards for the Guardians' number one pick? Have you given that any thought?
I'm a bananas for a banana right now. I
For Bazana. I'm all on board since I asked people to come up with Bluey themed home run calls, and there were so many great ones.
just
My
those.
favorite, if anybody watches Bluey, my favorite was former writer for the Covering Corner, Chris Davies, said, "Nice parking spot, Rita." I just when he hits a home run, that would be so great. If anybody's seen that episode, it's an amazing episode. I have small children, but I think I'd watch it anyway. So yeah, I like that.
Just imagine having Quan in the outfield and then I like mini Quan in the infield.
Yeah, from the same college, with a little more pop, I think. Although Kwan right now, he's on pace for like what, 50 home runs or whatever. Yeah, he's a
And Zaya just beat their hit record, or just took the hit record, I think it was, for Oregon State,
Yeah.
meaning that he surpassed Quan and Adley Rutschman.
Yeah. Wow. Those are some names. Yeah, I do kind of think it will be Bazana, and I'm excited about that. I'm kind of intrigued. I saw some numbers for Braden Montgomery that like metrics that were pretty good. And I am always in on the switch hitters. I love switch hitters because it takes so much skill to be able to do that. That I feel like, generally speaking, if you can switch hit at a high level, you're probably going to be able to hit in period. So I'm kind of interested in him, and he has some potential to maybe play center field. So that would be another one that I'd be interested in. Not as huge on Condon, though he certainly seems like he's going to be a great hitter. Not as huge on Kurtz, though he seems like he's going to hit a lot of home runs. I think it's Bazana or Montgomery for me right now. But who knows? I'm not an expert. I just kind of read and watch and see what I can.
We still have what, 2 months, 2.5 months?
Yeah, I think it depends on how far guys go in the playoffs. But yeah, about 2 months or so. So yeah, we'll see. All right. Well, thank you, Nicole. Thanks for giving me some time, and we'll
Yeah, thanks for having me.
talk to you soon.